We've been looking at prayer a number of weeks in a row, and what a privilege it is to be able to pray and to know that God is hearing our prayer and does answer prayers in such a fast and strong fashion. And we've seen some great things in God's work concerning that. Today I'd like to go over two areas in God's Word, peace and patience. This both happen to start with a P, but peace and patience. And peace is something that I can't say everyone wants, but I can easily say almost everyone on earth would like to have peace. It's a great thing to have. People's perception of what peace is may vary, obviously, but a biblical definition of peace, I thought I'd read. This is what E.W. Bollinger had worked out from the scriptures, and he defined it as a rest in contrast with strife, denoting the absence of or the end of strife. It's the state of untroubled, undisturbed well-being. And that's there are different definitions that people have worked out, but all very, very, very similar. The absence of strife in our lives. And that's a wonderful way to be. The strife between man and man, and the strife between, and that peace is an undisturbed, untroubled relationship. This did not be all agitated. This did not be all discombobulated. I didn't know how to write that out. I don't even know the words. Nice to not be restful, all stirred up on the side. And a lack of peace is just not fun to live with. We all, at one point in our lives, lived without peace before we got to know God and His Word. And I'd like to start in Romans chapter 3. We're just going to run through some scriptures concerning peace. Lack of peace started when Adam and Eve disobeyed God and were removed from the garden. And that put a separation between mankind and God. And it was an unrestful state, so to speak, for both parties. And their disobedience caused that divide. So all through time, man has been having trouble with peace. In chapter 3, verse 17, this chapter deals with, in part, the nature of man prior to being born again. And one of the aspects, verse 17, is, and the way of peace have they not known. As a person with just body and soul removed from God's presence, there's no peace there. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 57. Isaiah chapter 57. The law of Moses, the law that God gave to Moses to record and to abide by, helped a man have some type of peace available, but it wasn't the permanent peace that's available because of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But He did make provisions for people to have peace, experience peace, have that peace between Him and God, Him and mankind and God, and mankind with each other. So, chapter 57, verse 19 says, I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace to him that is far off and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. But the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters mixed up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith God, for the wicked. So in the Old Testament, if a person abided within the dictates of God's word, God's will, they had peace. If a person pushed themselves away from that, refused to listen or believe it, then there was no peace for that person. Let's go to chapter 59. And in verse 8, it says, the way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever jumps therein shall not know peace. Not a good state to be in. Let's go to Isaiah 53 while we're in the neighborhood. Isaiah 53, verse 5, says, this is referring to Jesus Christ, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And as we know, because of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have peace available to us, and it's been given to us. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. We're going to flip around God's word a lot today. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What an incredible truth that is, to come to a realization that we have peace from God and we are at peace with God. That's really wonderful, really wonderful. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Well, we let that one sink in. It's a new day. And to be reminded of that every day, that we are at peace with God, and he has given us peace. We are at peace with God Almighty. Ephesians chapter 2, it's because of Jesus Christ, as we've been reading. Here's a few scriptures concerning the accomplishments of Jesus Christ and concerning peace. Verse 13 says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh, means close, by the blood of Christ. So now we are in Christ Jesus. One time we were far away, now we're close. Verse 14, for he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain, or of two, one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. So the work of Jesus Christ, the accomplishments of redemption, one of the benefits and accomplishments is that it brought peace. So it was peace between Jew and Gentile, which is making that one new man, and also between God and man, in general. He's the one that made it available. Let's go to Romans chapter 15. Romans 15. I know I've heard it many times through the years. I don't hear it much anymore because I'm around believers all the time. But I remember growing up and hearing certain people say, I just want some peace and quiet. If I could just get some peace and quiet. I think it was probably mostly parents. But we do have peace. We really do have peace. And what an enjoyable thing to enjoy. Chapter 15, verse 33. It says, now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. God is a God of peace. It's one of his characteristics is he is peace. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. God's the one that makes peace available. Jesus Christ's works made provision for God to be able to make it available. Romans chapter 1, and in verse 7, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Just amazing. Now, they're just not words on the page, they are truths. You know, it's a living reality that we have peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know what else would we want in life, in a sense. I mean, it's just big, so big, and it's free. Don't have to pay for it. John chapter 14, the long-lasting peace. It lasts as long as we're alive. John chapter 14. And in eternity, we're going to have peace with God all through eternity. We will not be at loggerheads with God Almighty. We will not be unrest, in an unrested relationship with God. Chapter 14, verse 27, popularly known scripture, Jesus Christ speaking. He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And in John chapter 16, verse 33, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." We are going to have tribulation when we live in this world, and we are living in this world, and there is tribulation. There are pain and circumstances that are pushed in front of us, and that's never going to end until the return of Christ. There's a devil, and he just doesn't happen to like us, or anybody, really. His cohorts, he doesn't even like them, but, you know, he gets them to work for him. But, there's going to be tribulation, but what Jesus Christ did and accomplished overcame that. The manifestation of it will be in future time, but we can live with great peace now, which is really nice. We're going to look at a few verses in Psalms. Psalm 119. In the Old Testament, most of the uses of the word peace is a Hebrew word called shalom. And to this day, Jewish people say that word to each other. And there's a little certain Jewish people have this. It's like a metal thing they put on the side of a door or side of a door frame, and it's supposed to be the word shalom. You know, when you enter into a house, there's peace there. I don't know all the ins and outs about it, the current Judean, but. It comes from the Old Testament, the Hebrew word shalom. And in most of the uses of peace in the New Testament is one word as well. So Psalm 119 and 165, it says, "A little bit of peace have they with..." No. I can't hear you say no. I know in your head you could say it. "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them or trip them up." Great peace. What a promise and what a truth. Great peace. Psalm 29. "Great peace have those who love the law of God." Chapter 29. I remember when I first got into God's Word, and I was just so thankful for it and excited about it. I was at college, and when I got home, I started telling all my friends that I, you know, had from high school, and started telling my relatives. And I remember going to my aunt's house, and I brought my Bible, and I was witnessing to her. She was very polite. She says, "You know, I personally am not interested, but I can tell..." She said, "There's a glow about you that I've never seen my entire life." And she said, "It is definitely affecting you in a good way." And part of that was the peace. I finally had peace in my life. It was just such a wonderful thing. So she recognized it. It wasn't interested for herself, but it was available to her. So Psalm 29, verse 11. Says, "The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace." Man, what a promise. Psalm 37, verse 11. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. It's just wonderful, the abundance of peace. It's really great. Psalm 4. Psalm 4, verse 8. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Wow, just wonderful. We're going to go back to Isaiah chapter 26. Commonly known scripture, and it does deal with the renewed mind process that it talks about in Romans chapter 12 of placing God's word into our thinking and into our actions. And here's a promise of chapter 23, verse 3. It says, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. And the word perfect is actually the word peace. So it's, I will keep him in peace, peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, whose mind is, looking to God and placing God's word into their mind. Just a great promise. And in Colossians chapter 3, there are so many verses of scripture dealing with peace. These are just a few of them. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. Many of you can quote this one, or even easier read it, but it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And I read verse 16, and I was supposed to read verse 15. Did I say 15? I can't remember. But verse 15. I was like, where's the peace in here? Verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. To let the peace of God rule. And the word rule is sort of like used like an umpire. An umpire seeing the balls come down from the pitcher, and he's calling balls or strikes. And the peace of God is to rule, like be an umpire in our hearts, to decide what we're going to keep in our thinking and what we're going to toss out. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. And in verse 7, it says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It's just, it's so easily available to be peaceful and to live peaceably. It's a wonderful thing. So we have that great privilege, and it's just a perk, so to speak, of walking with God and loving Him and Him taking care of us. And it's just so brings wholeness to us and healing and calms our thinking down. It just does so much stuff. The other one is patience. Just wanted to take a quick look at patience. Now, patience is something that some people, I would think, peace is something that most people want. Patience is something that most people should have. And there's one group of people that has to have patience or they can't do what they want to do. And that those people are doctors. Because doctors, if they have no patience, they're in trouble. So there you have it, the joke for the day. But we're going to go to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. So patience, the word patience literally means to remain under or bearing up. It's like something that's holding you up. It deals with endurance, it deals with steadfastness, and it deals with constancy. So my own little definition, I wouldn't, this is not something you'd want to write in a book, in our day and time, like maybe the ability to hang in there, and so that you are steadfast and you're constant, the ability to hang in there so you're steadfast, you're constant, and that's a patience. So Romans 15, verse 5, another characteristic of God, it says, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, the God of patience. And in verse 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. The Word of God, learning the Word of God and working the Word of God, and enduring with that Word of God in life, is just a wonderful thing. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We're just going to read some scriptures concerning it. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 4. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fasting, and it goes on. But he starts off with in much patience. And there is an endurance to patience. To be, to have patience. Sometimes people could think of it in terms of being long fused, but there's an enduring. That's why the part of the definition is remaining under or bearing up. It helps support us to be patient. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 11 says, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. That power that we get strengthened from God Almighty helps us to be patient, unto all patience. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. The more we live with God's word in our hearts and lives, and the more patient and enduring for living life we become. This is something that Paul was thankful for and in prayers for the believers in Thessalonica. They had just gotten into God's word and they were really growing in God's word, and he was praying for them and thankful for their lives. And in verse 3 of chapter 1, well, verse 2, it says, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of believing and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. But one of those three things that he was remembering of for their lives and thankful for and praying was their patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5. That is for if... Verse 5, and the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. And that's something. God's directing our lives into this stuff. To be patient, to be enduring, to be held up and to hold up. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Patience is something that's really to be woven into our lifestyle of living for God and with God. And it just starts coming as we live God's word. We get more patient. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11. This is a charge by revelation to Timothy, and he's being called here a man of God. And there are things that God is directing this man to follow, to chase after, to pursue. And look what one of them is. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, which are listed the couple verses beforehand, and follow, flee what's listed, and then follow these. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, which should be believing, love, patience, meekness. Patience is one of those characteristics, one of those truths that Timothy was directed to chase after, to follow, to be, to kind of buddy up next to it and get involved with it, so to speak. Let's go to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. And here in chapter 2, there are directives given to older believers, both male and female, younger believers, married people. And in verse 2, it says that the aged men be sober, which means vigilant, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The directive, God's will, was that these older believers would be strong in patience, along with other things. But patience was supposed to be part of their characteristic and lifestyle. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. It's the same word, same Greek word. It's that bearing up, holding up. We have need of being held up, to bear up, to have a patient in what God says. I didn't say it. we do need it. And chapter 12, verse 1, dealing with the believer's walk. Again, a directive for us to do, a way of living for us to be, how to be. Verse 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, and the cloud of witnesses were all these believers listed in chapter 11 that believed God, who walked for God, and they are, their lives speak to God's people. They're not alive right now, but what they did is a witness unto future believers, and we're part of that future believers. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our believing, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest he be wearied and faint in your minds. So again, in verse 1, where the end verse is, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to have a patient endurance. And it's a great truth to have in our lives and to grow in. So God's peace, having God's peace, allows us, if we allow it to rule our hearts, helps us to be able to have patient endurance, living life. Because there are tribulations, there are things that come up sometimes a lot more often where we would expect. But, you know, stuff happens. There's physical pressures, mental pressures, spiritual pressures. And one of the things in order to keep walking for God is we have to have that patience that allows us and helps us to stand faithful day after day after day. So, great characteristic. So, peace and patience.